Hey, traders, this is Dr. Barry Burns with TopDogTrading.com. And today we're going to talk about the difference between day trading and swing trading. I do both. I love them both for different reasons. And like most things in trading, there's pluses and minuses to each. Sometimes people ask me, well, what is better, day trading or swing trading? Which one can you make more money with? Which one's better for newbies? Which one's better for seasoned traders? You know, there is no best. It's just what you want. So pluses and minuses, and you determine which one fits you and your trading style and your needs and your schedule and your psychological makeup and your risk profile, etc., etc. So let's go through some of these differences and help you decide what's better for you. Or, like me, you might decide you want to do both. Swing trading has some tremendous advantages to it. For example, lifestyle. There's a lot of people who really, really do not like to just sit in front of a computer screen for hours and hours and watch little bars go up and down. And day trading can be rather challenging that way. It can be very tedious, it can be very exhausting, and it's very demanding. Now, I personally enjoy it. I mean, gosh, back in the days of yore, when I was a young whippersnapper, knee-high to a grasshopper, I would get up at, I'd go to bed early, and I'd get up about 11 o'clock at night, and I would trade the DAX at midnight, and then come around, and the Euro would start trading, and I'd trade that for a while, and then the S&P would open, and so I would trade that. And by the time New York closed, I'd been trading for 13 hours. 13 hours, that's crazy. Well, I'm 50 years old now and been trading for plenty of time that I don't need that anymore. You know, it was fun. It was fun. I really had a blast doing it. Didn't get much sleep. Didn't have much of a social life in those days. But, you know, I loved trading, and I still love trading. I really do. It's a passion of mine, and I will say the passion has not diminished at all. But still, I'm not interested in trading for 13 hours a day anymore. So I only trade for a few hours a day, and that keeps it really, really enjoyable for me. That's my day trading. And my swing trades, I don't even look at during the day. My swing trading is done after market hours. Now, swing trading I define as holding a trade for more than one day. So in other words, day trading means you're in and out on the same day. And I think that's pretty much the literal definition of day trading. Swing trading for me, and again, there's many different definitions. Initially, the term swing trading meant very short-term, 2-3 day holding periods, but I think that definition has expanded a lot since then. And so for me, it just fills the gap between day trading and investing. So you're definitely holding overnight. You might be holding for 2 days, you might be holding for 2 weeks, or even a couple of months. But you're not getting into the really long-term investing where you're holding for years. So it's still considered trading as opposed to investing. So I do my swing trading with daily bars, a daily chart, where each bar is one day's worth of activity. And that allows me this lifestyle where I don't have to be watching my swing trades intraday. I just put in my order the night before. I put in literally a buy or sell stop order, and the next day, if the market hits that level, I'm in. I'm automatically in. And I don't even have to watch it during the day. And my stops go in, and if that stop gets hit, well, then I'm out automatically behind the scenes. Now, I won't say that I don't once in a while look over and see what's going on with my swing trades, but I'm not actively trading them, that's for sure. Now, that is also a very, very appropriate way for people to trade who have a job. And so they really can't day trade during the day because they have to go to their job. So they can trade with daily bars. And again, they just put in their trades and take out their trades during the time when the market is not open and when they're home. And again, leads for a nice lifestyle. So it's a much more relaxed, easygoing type of trading style. Now, of course, with that, you're not going to get very many trades if you're trading on daily bars. So that can be one of the downsides. Again, not necessarily. Depends on how you feel about it. But a lot of swing traders I talk to say, gosh, you know, I thought I'd get more trades. Well, there's only going to be so many trades that set up in a month and a year. So if you're trailing daily bars, it's not going to be that many. So you can trade shorter time frames. You can go down to a 60-minute chart, for example, and swing trade that, or a 30-minute chart. Or if you get much lower than that, then it's iffy as to whether you'll actually be holding your position overnight or not. And you start to kind of hedge into that territory of becoming a day trader. But 60-minute chart is a very, very common swing trading chart and is certainly a very good one because a lot of people use it, and therefore a lot of people are seeing the same patterns. So it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Another great advantage of swing trading is that you have a lot of time to make your decisions. And so that's a good thing. With day trading is kind of like an extreme sport. You got to really be quick on the draw. You've got to be able to make those executions quickly. You don't have a lot of time to think or make a decision. With swing trading, you got all night. You want to come home from work and stare at charts for 6, 8, 12 hours before you go to work the next morning. Well, God bless you and the horse you rode in on. You can do that if you want to. But seriously, you get to relax, take your time, make your decisions, put your trade in the night before, and chill. So you're not under this incredible pressure where you've got to make a decision in the next 2 seconds. So the advantages of swing trading are fantastic, are wonderful. There are a few downsides. I mentioned one already, and that's getting fewer trades. Again, that's kind of six of one, half dozen of another type thing. Some people like getting fewer trades. Others want more action, so that depends on you. But I would say the biggest problem with swing trading is the overnight risk that you're exposing yourself to. And that can be very significant. Now, most of the time, you're going to be fine. But every once in a while, and if you swing trade enough, it will happen. You will get into a market that will gap through your stop. Now, it doesn't really matter in my mind whether you put in a market order or a limit order for your stop. Either way, you're screwed. So if you put in a market order, for example, which is normally what I do, then and the market gaps down $10 beyond your stop, well, you'll get filled down there and get a lousy fill and big loss. So some people say, well, just put in a limit order. That way you don't get filled. Yeah, you don't get filled, but you've still incurred the loss. Just because you haven't cashed out the position doesn't mean you haven't lost that money. It's amazing to me how so many people think, well, I haven't lost the money until I cash out that position. Yeah, well, talk to your broker and see what kind of margin he's going to give you, whether it's on the value of your current position or on what it was before the market gapped against you. And he'll tell you how much how much money you got. So that overnight risk is very, very significant. Again, doesn't happen too often, but when it does, it can wipe out a lot of winners, and can really, really hurt and be discouraging and psychologically demoralizing. So what you have to do is you need to hedge your positions to help protect yourself against that, because again, stops are not going to do it. You should always put in a stop. I put in hard stops. But when you get a big gap against your position that gaps through your stop, well, it's not really going to help you. We talk about different ways to hedge your position so that if the market does gap deeply, deeply, deeply against you, you're not going to get hurt too bad. You can still limit your risk to a very, very small amount. Now, when I'm swing trading, I also use two energies that I don't use in day trading. And I talk about energies in the market. This is how I analyze the market. I analyze it in terms of energies. So in my first two courses, my foundations courses, I talk about the primary five energies. And those five energies I look for in every single trade I take. And my trading methodology is real simple. I'm looking for those energies to align at the same time. So they're all telling me the same thing at the same time. That puts the odds on my side, makes me the house. And then I have a high probability situation and I'm happy to put my money on the table. Now, there's two more energies that come into play with swing trading beyond those first five. So when I'm swing trading, I'm using seven energies. The first one is volume. Now, a lot of people are very surprised that in day trading, I don't use volume. And it's kind of a half-truth. When I day trade, I use tick charts. I do not use minute increment charts. In other words, I'm not primarily trading with a 1-minute chart or a 2-minute chart or a 5-minute chart. I'm trading with what's called a tick chart, where each bar does not represent an increment of time, but it represents a certain number of trades. So, for example, a chart that has a 100-tick bar on it. 100 ticks, a tick represents a trade, so a 100-tick chart means that each bar is 100 trades long. So as opposed to a 5-minute chart where that bar is going to last an increment of time, in that case 5 minutes, a tick chart is not limited by time. It's limited by the number of trades that goes through. And so in this way, volume is incorporated right into the price pattern. So 100-tick bar, 100 trades go through. That forms one bar. When trade 101 goes through the market, it starts a new bar for another 100 trades. Now, it's important to know that it is not strictly incorporating volume into the bar pattern, because a trade can have a different number of shares or contracts, if you will. And so, therefore, you could have 100 trades, but one trade could have one contract, another one could be 100 contracts, but that still only would count as two trades. So I love tick charts. It's what I use primarily for my day trading. And as I say, it therefore does incorporate volume somewhat into the chart pattern itself. And therefore, it's not correct to say I don't use volume at all in my day trading. But I don't put the volume histogram down at the bottom of my charts. And that still can be helpful. But with tick charts, it just doesn't have, of course, the same kind of effect as it would on a minute increment chart. So in swing trading, since I'm using daily charts, I definitely do use the volume histogram at the bottom, and I use a volume indicator as well. And that is very, very, very powerful. So when you're swing trading, you definitely want to know how to use volume. And I find that a lot of people don't know how to read volume. Well, it's not that hard, but there's a few little tricky things to it. In fact, it's actually not one of the easier things to do. Once you get used to it, I say it's not that hard because I'm pretty used to it now. But I do find that most new traders have a really tough time. They're misreading volume, and it's causing them a lot of problems in their trading. So I make that easier as I teach in my swing trading course, ways to really, really clarify how to read volume accurately. And then the other energy, the seventh energy, if you will, and the second one for swing trading, or the second new one that we add for swing trading is relative strength. Now, relative strength is huge. This is a whole new aspect of trading when you add relative strength to your trading. And this is what can make your trading, hate to use the word, but almost easy. You know, I mean, think back before 1999, trading tech stocks in the NASDAQ. Everybody was making truckloads of money, right? They were just raking it in. The Brinks trucks were backing up to every mobile home park in the country. And so it didn't take a genius to make money in the NASDAQ the years just prior to 1999. Why was that? It's because the market was just in a wild, crazy, bullish market. And so it was great. All you had to do was be in and long, and you made money. Real estate recently, up until 2007, just going gangbusters. Huge bullish market. Again, tons of people making money. You didn't have to be smart. You didn't even have to know what you were doing. All you had to do was be in, and you were getting rich. Now, of course, both of those stories had sad endings because the people who didn't know what they were doing didn't know how to evaluate when an end was near, and their timing was way off, and so they ended up getting crushed and losing everything that they had. Why? Because they didn't have the skill to go along with it. So the ideal scenario is to do both. To, number one, have the skill, in this case, trading. Develop your skill as a trader. But then, number two, find a raging bull market. Or, if you want to go short, find a raging bear market and trade that. And that's where the energy of relative strength comes in. We analyze all the various types of markets out there, and we want to look at diverse markets. We're not looking at, you know, just the Dow 30 and saying, okay, which one of these are the strongest? That's not going to cut it. So we're going to find markets that are unusually strong, raging bears, raging bulls, or weak or strong in this case, and get in and trade those. And it's easier now than ever because now with all the exchange-traded funds that are available to us, you don't even have to trade futures or commodities anymore. You don't have to trade these leveraged instruments if you're not comfortable with that. You can trade exchange-traded funds of those types of things. So you can trade gold, you can trade agricultures, currencies, all different countries from all over the world, all these international markets, interest vehicles, bonds, of course, all the different sectors and industries, oil, on down the line, I mean, there's almost no limit to it anymore as to what you can trade. And so that's a beautiful thing because with all of these different markets accessible to the retail trader now, you have more opportunity. You don't want to be trading things that are always linked together. You want to trade, you want to find opportunities that are not necessarily intimately connected with the S&P 500 if the S&P 500 isn't really moving. So disassociation, and then not just that, obviously, but through relative strength analysis, our goal is to catch these raging bull markets early. We want to catch them early because if you can catch them early, you can hold on to them for a long time, often case years. But then we also learn how to get out of them before they topple because these raging bull markets do. They do. The end is nasty. So you want to have the skill to anticipate that and lock in your profits and not lose everything that you gained. So finding the right market is very, very powerful. Again, if you find the right market, you don't really have to be all that good, but you'll do a lot better if you find the right market and you are good. I think this is the most powerful aspect of swing trading. This is the greatest advantage that swing trading gives you over day trading. And it can also be applied to investing, which is also great. Now we're able to move over into even the long term, the investing horizon, and do some incredibly powerful things with our investing portfolio by doing some very creative and powerful relative strength analysis. So that's it for today. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We're going to have many more coming out. Feel free to write me over at Barry@topdogtrading.com with any suggestions you may have for future podcasts. And also visit my blog at www.topdogtrading.com. Copyright 2008, Top Dog Trading. Nothing in this podcast should be construed to be investment advice. There is a substantial risk for loss when trading or investing. A market's actual results could differ materially from forecasts due to certain inherent market risks. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Consult a licensed broker, investment advisor, or financial planner before trading or investing.